Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining me for Moving Forward. I'm not looking back. I'm moving ahead. Hallelujah. I am grateful, thankful, and blessed to be with you this morning because God, that means God gave me a do-over. So I thank God for the do-over, and let us pray. We got some words this morning. Father God in heaven, we give you honor, glory, and praise. We say thank you, Lord, for another day. But you didn't have to wake us up, but you did. Father God, as always, we are lifting up Mother Rita and her sisters, Lord God, asking you to watch over them and their families, God. Bless them, bless them, bless them, God. Put your healing power and your angels of protection around each and every one of them and their families, as well as her brothers and all her siblings, Lord God. For we love Mother Rita, Lord, and we know she is trying the best to make it through. And Lord God, if it's your will to take her home, then your will be done. And if it's your will to give us a little more time, then your will also be done, Lord God. For we put our trust, our faith, and our love in you, Father. So, Father God, I ask you to bless each and every person listening live and listening later. Watch over them and bless them, oh God. And they're coming in and they're going out. And, Father God, as we move forward in your word, Lord God, all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all these days you have given us. To this ninth day of November, Lord, you have given us everything we need and more than we could ever ask for on this side, Lord God, on this 10th day of November. You have given us more than we could ever ask for. So I thank you, Father. I praise you, Father. I give you honor and I give you glory, Lord. But you are great and greatly to be praised. And all I can say is, thank you, dear Lord, for all that you have done for me. In Jesus' name, I pray, believing and trusting in you. Amen. And let's get started, because we are going to go back a little bit, because I believe I accidentally missed a day. Strange. So let's go back. We're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 9. And the word of God that came in Ezekiel chapter 9 says this: Then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, Let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. And suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with a battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's ink horn in his hand at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherubim where it had been to the threshold of the temple, and he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's inkhorn at his side. And the Lord said to him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who, and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. To the other he said to my hearing, Go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eyes spare, nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maybe the little children and women, but do not come near anyone of whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Then he said to them, Defile the temple and fill the courts with the flame. Go out. And they went out and killed in the city. So it was that while they were killing them, I was left alone. And I fell on my face and cried out and said, Oh, Lord God, will you destroy all the remnant of Israel and pour out your fury on Jerusalem? Then he said to me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of bloodshed, and the city full of perversity. But they say, the Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see. And as for me also, my eyes will neither spare, nor will I have pity, but I will recompense their deed on their own heads. Just then the men clothed with linen, who had the inkhorn at his side, reported back and said, I have done as you commanded me. And I looked, and there in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubim, there appeared something like a sapphire stone, having the appearance of the lightning throne. Then he spoke to the man clothed with linen and said, go in among the wheels under the cherub, fill with your hands with coals of fire from among the cherubim, and scatter them over the city. And he went in, and as I watched, now the cherubim was standing on the south side of the temple when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherubim and paused over the threshold of the temple. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the sound of the wings and of the cherubim was heard even in the outer court, like the voice of Almighty God when he speaks. Then it happened, when he had commanded the man clothed in linen, saying, take from among the wheels, from among the cherubim, that he went in and stood before the wheel. And the cherubim stretched out his hand from among the cherubim in the fire that was among the cherubim, and took some of it and put it into the hand of the man clothed with linen. He took it and went out. The cherubim appeared to have the form of a man's hand under their wings. And when I looked, there were four wheels by the cherubim, one wheel by one cherubim and another wheel by each other cherubim. The wheels appeared to have the color of real stone. As for their appearance, all four looked alike, as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went toward any of their four directions. They did not turn aside when they went, but followed in the direction of the head was facing. They did not turn aside when they went, and their whole body, with their back and their hands, their wings, and the wheels that the forehead were full of eyes all around. As for the wheels, they were called in the hearing wheel. Each one had four faces. The face was face of a cherubim. The second face, the face of a man. The third, the face of a lion. And I know we read this before, but we're reading it again because it's part of our lesson for this morning. And it goes on to tell us, each one had four faces. When the cherubim went, the wheels went beside them. And when the cherubim lifted their wings to mount up from the earth, the same wheels also did not turn from beside them. When the cherubim stood still, the wheels stood still. And when one was lifted up, the other lifted itself up. For the spirit of the living creature was in them. Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim. And the cherubim lifted their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels were beside them, and they stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory of the God of Israel was above them. Then this is the living creature I saw under the God of Israel by the river Chebar, and knew they were cherubim. Each one had four faces, and each one four wings, and the likeness of the hand of the man was under their wings. And the likeness of the face was the same as the face which I had seen by the river Chebar. Their appearance, their person, their each went straight forward. Chapter 11 of Ezekiel. Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the east gate of the Lord's house. And there at the door of the gate were 25 men, among whom I saw Jezaniah, the son of Azur, and Pelatiah, the son of Benaniah, prince of the people. And he said to me, son of man, these are the men who devise iniquity and give wicked counsel in the city, who say, the time is not near to build houses. This city is the conjurum, and we are the meat. Therefore, prophesy against him. Prophesy, O son of man. Because remember, there was the prophet Elias telling him, oh, you're not going to be in captivity by the minute. Don't build houses. Don't do anything. When Jeremiah had said, you're going to be here 70 years. Ezekiel is trying to tell him, you're going to be here for 70 years, so let's see what's going on. Because then the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said to me, speak. Thus says the Lord, thus you have said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind. You have multiplied your slain in this city. You have filled the streets with the slain. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, the slain whom you have laid in its midst. They are the meat, and this city is the cauldron, but I shall bring you out of the midst of it. You have feared the sword, and I will bring a sword upon you, says the Lord God. And I will bring you out of its midst and deliver you into the hands of strangers and execute judgment on you. You shall fall by the sword. I will judge you at the border of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. This city shall not be your cauldron, nor shall you be the meat. Judge you at the border of Israel. You shall know that I am the Lord. But you have not walked in my statutes, nor executed my judgments, but have done according to the customs of the Gentiles which are all around you. Now it happened while I was prophesying that Pelatiah the son of Benaniah died. Then I fell on my face and cried with a loud voice and said, ah, Lord God, will you make a complete end of the remnant of Israel? Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, your brethren, your relatives, your countrymen, and all the house of Israel in its entirety are those of the, whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, get far away from the Lord. This land has been given to us as a possession. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, although I have cast them far among the Gentiles, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet I shall be a little sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they will go there, and they will take away all its detestable things and all its abominations from there. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts follow the desire of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their deed on their own head, says the Lord God. So the cherubim lifted up their wings with the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was high above them. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city, and stood on the mountain which is on the east side of the city. Then the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea to those in captivity. And the vision that I had seen went up from me, so I spoke to those in captivity. Of all things the Lord had shown me. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see but does not see, and ears to hear but does not hear. But they are a rebellious house. Therefore, son of man, to prepare your belongings for captivity, and go into captivity by day in their sight. You shall go from your place into captivity to another place. It may be that they will consider, though they are a rebellious house. But By day you shall bring out your belongings in their sight, as though going into captivity. And at evening you shall go in their sight, take those who go into captivity, dig through the wall in their sight, and carry your belongings out to them. In their sight you shall bear them on your shoulders, and carry them out at twilight. You shall cover your face so that you cannot see the ground. For I have made you a sign to the house of Israel. So I did as I was commanded. I brought out my belongings by day as though going into captivity. And at evening I dug through the wall with my hand. I brought them out of the twilight, and I bore them on my shoulders in their sight. And in the morning, the word of the Lord came to me, said, Son of man, has not the house of Israel the rebellious house said to you, what are you doing? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, this burden concerns the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel who are among them. Say, I am assigned to you as I have done, so shall it be done to them. They shall be carried away into captivity. And the prince who is among them shall bear his belongings on his shoulders at twilight and go out, shall dig through the wall to carry them out through it. He shall cover his face so he cannot see the ground with his eyes. I will also spread my net over him, and he shall be caught in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, yet he shall not see it, though he shall die there. I will scatter to every man all who are around him to help him and all his troops, and I will draw out the sword after them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord when I scatter them amongst the nations and disperse them throughout the country. But I will spare a few of their men from the sword, from famine, from pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the Gentiles wherever they go. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, eat your bread with your water with trembling and anxiety, and say to the people of the land, thus says the Lord God, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread with anxiety and drink their water with dread, so that their land may be emptied of all who are in it because of the violence of all those who dwell in it. Then the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall become desolate, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, what is this proverb that you people have about the land of Israel, which says, the days are prolonged and every vision fails? Tell them, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will lay this proverb to rest, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say to them, the days are at hand and the fulfillment of every vision. But no more shall there be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel, for I am the Lord. I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. It will no more be postponed, but in your days I'll repay his house. I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord God. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, look, the house of Israel is saying, the vision that he sees is for many days from now, and he prophesies in times far off. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, none of my words will be postponed anymore, but the word which I speak will be done, said the Lord God. God's word will be done. Whatever the Lord says he will do, you better believe it. He will do it. God does not play, and he loves us, but he chastises us too, just like a parent should, and just like he does. And as we go back into some life lessons from Dr. Stanley, and again, for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, my assignment was to read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. And we have used the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year as the Bible of choice, the Bible that God should read. And Dr. Stanley gives commentaries. They are called life lessons, life questions, what the Bible says. And so we follow that, and we read Dr. Stanley's words because they come right on point. And all I can say is thank you, God, for this magnificent Bible. And thank you, Dr. Stanley, for putting it out. For you have probably saved many lives who did not know the word, but I've heard it through you by giving it to me. So I thank you, God, for this assignment, and I'm going to complete it as long as it's God's will. So let's keep moving in Ezekiel the book of Ezekiel. We got a few life lessons. And the first is Ezekiel 9:4. Put a mark on the foreheads of the men who die and cry over all the abominations. God ordered his anger to distinguish between those who honored him and those who did not. When it came time for judgment, he was sparing faithful people. Do not come near anyone on whom is the mark. And understand that come the day, there will be a mark. A mark of the evil one. And it will be in the number 666. On the forehead and on the hand. We'll read it in Revelation. But I tell you, be careful of who you allow to get into your space. Don't let anybody put any marks on you. I'm seeing now all these folks putting these tattoos on themselves. And you have some that have actually put the mark of the beast on. You know, go out on the web, on the Google, and you'll find them. And you're like, are you crazy? Do you know what you're doing? But understand, God will not be mocked. And he don't take lightly the folks playing with the word. Thinking they're being cute. Not understanding, you don't open a door and so difficult. And when we go to Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 9, the Lord has forsaken the land. Most Israelites completely misunderstood what happened during the Babylonian invasion. They did not see them for what they were, a prophesied divine judgment, but rather a proof that God had lost interest. God considered this perception deeply evil. Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 18. Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim. Many in Israel thought Jerusalem could never be destroyed because the temple, God's dwelling place, stood there. They never imagined that he would abandon the temple, even though he had warned of precisely that. And we read that in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 67. So whatever God says he will do, you better believe he will do it. And he doesn't play about it. And when we go to our life lesson, Ezekiel 11 and 5, I know the things that come into your mind. God knows us. He knows what we think about. He knows what we dream of. He knows everything. And it says, and I know the things that come into your mind. So we got to think about that. Every time something negative comes into your mind, oops, God is seeing it. The Lord knows us completely. Our thoughts, our plans, our hopes, our feelings. We can hide nothing from him, and we can never surprise him. He knows us better than we know ourselves. That is why we can trust him. Are you trusting in God today? Are you believing that he is with you? Because he is. He said it. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And I stand on that word. Ezekiel 11 and 16. Excuse me. I shall be a little sanctuary for them. Wherever we go, God is a sanctuary for us. Even when he judges Israel and sent her into captivity, even there in the land of the nations exile, the Lord became a little sanctuary for her. God told us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You can take God's word to the bank, because whatever God says, he will do. He will do it. Ezekiel 12 and 3, it may be that they will consider, though they are a rebellious act. God instructed Ezekiel to perform many unusual actions in a last-ditch effort to prod the rebellious Israelites to return to the Lord with all their heart and soul. God will do all he can to hold off judgment. He didn't want to send them in exile. He wanted them to be saved, but they chose it. We make choices will hurt and harm us. We are the ones to make it. God doesn't send calamity. We send calamity to ourselves. and the word says, I am the Lord. I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. You can rely completely on the truth and accuracy of the word of God. When Jesus departed with Satan in the wilderness, he responded repeatedly with an affirmative. It is written. Mark 4:4-7-10. It is written. Every time the enemy came at him with, throw yourself. Just throw yourself down from the top. You know, and I'm paraphrasing. Your daddy's going to send some angels to keep you from falling. And somebody else said, you're like, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Well, hey, if you bow down to me, I will give you. I got you. But he was like, not happening. Thou shalt have no other God. He was like, I ain't playing with you. Get me gone. And that's how Jesus took it. Be gone. He was not having that. You know, you can do all of that. Talk to me if you want to. But I am not interested in following you. I'm not following you now. I didn't follow you then. And I will not be following you. So you can keep on moving. As it says, keep on moving, devil, because I'm not the one. That's how Jesus had that moment. He's like, I'm not the one. I am not the one for you. I am not the one that's going to follow you. I am not the one. You know, and it goes on to tell us, because, you know, the devil is quick. He is real quick, and he knows. He knows how to get you where he wants you to go. You know, and Jesus is like, not interested, not in my wheelhouse. Not, the answer is no to the no, no, no. You know, and Jesus gave all the parables. And he told them, you know, hear and understand who that I am. And I am a child of God, and I will not do what my daddy tells me not to do. And the question is, do we do what our daddy tells us not to do? Or do we do our own thing? You know, we got to follow after God to do what thus says the Lord. You know, we got to keep that Matthew word in our spirit. You know, when the enemy tries to come at you, we got to have a word. And when we go back to Matthew chapter 4, and, you know, and it goes on to say, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Damn, in your face. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angel charge over you, and in the hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And what Jesus said, he said, it is written, again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Come on now, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. We got to have that in our spirit. You shall worship who? The Lord your God, and him and only him shall you serve. We can't have two masters. You can't serve God and serve the devil too. We got to understand that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. everybody trying to get more. But we need to understand who we belong to. Jesus didn't play, and we can't play either. And as we go back into our psalm this morning, you know, all I can say is what an awesome word this morning from Ezekiel. And let us go back to our psalm this morning, which is where our title is coming from. God sent me back to the 121st Psalm. And it says this, I will lift up my eyes to the hill from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He will keep you well, not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall never slumber, nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. Come on now. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will preserve you from all evil. And that is a title. The Lord will preserve you from all evil. We got to trust God. We got to believe that he who keeps you will not slumber. God does not sleep. We do, but he doesn't. We sleep, but he doesn't. The Lord will preserve you from all evil. Why? Because he does not slumber. He does not sleep. The Lord will preserve your going out and your coming in. Why? Because he does not slumber and he does not sleep. The Lord will preserve your going out and your coming in from the time, from this time forth and even forevermore. God does not play. We cannot keep playing. Church, we got to understand the word of God is truth. And that truth is what sets us free from the clutches of the devil who will come at you. But you better have your it is written. Have your it is written in your heart, in your mind, and in your spirit. Ask God the discernment to give you to know what is good and what is bad. And as we go back into a life lesson from Proverbs, from Psalm 121, verse 3, he who keeps you will not slumber. A title for this morning. When Jesus asked three trusted disciples to play with him in his darkest hour, they all fell asleep, not once, but three times. Say that three again. God would never do that to us. Even when we sleep, he stays awake. Why? Because he's always watching, protecting us, even in our sleep. When I was diagnosed with sleep apnea, they said I quit breathing 19 times within a few minutes. Understand, when you have no breath and you're not breathing, you can die. And I realized after all this time, God had been protecting me. He had been covering me. He had been putting the breath of life back in me every time the enemy tried to take it. We got to know who our Father is and love him without condition. And as we continue in our psalm, it says this, a song of ascent of David, Psalm 122. And it says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Come on now. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. But thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of house, the house of David. Proverbs 28:17-18, a man burdened with bloodshed. Let me go back and read Proverbs 28:16. A ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor. Catch that. But he who hates covetousness will prolong his days. A man burdened with bloodshed will flee into a pit, let no one help him. Whoever walks blamelessly will be saved, but he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fail. Better check, take all of that to heart, because God is speaking to us this morning, understanding he is not sleeping. God is watching everything you do, the stuff you do in the daytime, the stuff you do in the nighttime. God is watching you. You know, what's that song? Private eyes, they're watching you. God is that private eye that is constantly watching you. He knows your every move. And as we go back into Hebrews chapter 5, it says this, "But every high priest from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he was called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become a high priest, but it was he who said to him, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.' As he also says in another place, 'You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.'" And I always, in my own mind, because I am flesh, believe that Melchizedek that presented himself in the Old Testament, I believe it was Jesus all along. That's just how I feel. And this is what it says, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he was offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. But though by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles, to need milk and not solid food. But everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. But he is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." You can't be a baby and discern. You got to be on the real food. You got to be on the real food to discern. And you got to ask God for that gift. That gift doesn't come to everybody. You got to ask for it. "Lord, I want a discerning spirit. I want to be able to know who's good and who's bad. I want to know who's right for me and who's wrong for me. I want to know who I should allow in my life and who I should not. Lord, I ask for discernment to see those that come at me with the wrong spirit. I want to see beyond the surface that man sees. I want to see the spirit and be able to discern good from evil." We got to ask for the gift. If you want that gift, I'm going to tell you it's not an easy gift, but you got to ask for it. Because we have got to start getting our lives together, being able to see past the surface. Because if we don't, we are going to walk right into the pit that are being dug for us right now. We got to ask God, "Show me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Guide me, Lord. Help me, Lord." And let's just go back into Hebrews chapter 6. It says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened to have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the age of him. If they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucified him for themselves, the Son of God, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it, and bears earth useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessings from God, bears thorns. Come on now, we all see those roses. I was putting some roses away the other day and got pricked thorns, and bears, it rejects it because it can be cursed. Those ends is to be burned. But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and to do minister. And as I put a pin there, remember, the Lord does not slumber. God does not sleep. He sees it all. He helps you through day or night. 24/7, God is there watching over his children. As we may slumber, he's not. And it goes on. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Now I'm going to read that again. Because the enemy is coming at me, and I refuse to be tired. I am not tired yet. I'm working for the Lord this morning. So take that slumber and keep it moving. And it says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish. Come on now. Inherit the promises. Thank you, God, for that breath of fresh wind. Thank you, Lord, for breathing on me. And it says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you and multiply, I will multiply you and to others. And so after he had patiently endured, he had obtained the promise. For men indeed swore by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his character, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things possible for God. It is impossible for God to lie. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to go back to the beginning of verse number 18. So join me in verse 18 of Hebrews chapter 6, because this is a highlight. Well, actually, I'm going to go back to verse 17. Because this is one of my little highlightables in here. And it says, thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Why? Because God is not a man. We might have strong consolation. We have fled for the refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the wheel. Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. God does not slumber. God does not sleep. God is watching over his children. Why? Because he loves us like that. and he wants the best for us. Then as I go over to what the Bible says, it says many of God's people get into trouble because they lack a discerning spirit. They walk right into Satan's traps. You never even know what hit them. I can't imagine what went wrong, they might say, but a person with a discerning spirit will be quick to explain. Here's the trap Satan set, and there, here's how you fell into it. Each of us needs to develop a discerning spirit rooted in the knowledge of right and wrong, and to teach our children how to do the same. The time is the time to begin teaching them for discerning. It's not when they reach adulthood. We teach it from the time they are very young. Moses told the Israelites they train their children in God's commandments. And I'm sure my kids wonder why I constantly am teaching them the Ten Commandments and then teaching them how to understand the Ten Commandments. Because those are the foundation of who we are. That's who we are as Christians. If we follow the top 10, I follow the top 10. If we listen and we read Leviticus, if we read the Word of God, we understand. God does not play. We understand we need the slumbers must state. God is on the case, and he's on it all the time, 24/7. And he goes on to say, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your houses, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your heart, on your hand, and they shall be as spotless between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Deuteronomy 6:69. You must know right from wrong, not only in theory but in practice. We must know how to apply God's truth to our lives and how to live in obedience to his commandments. That's why Moses instructed us to teach our children God's commandments throughout the day, not just in a half-hour Sunday school lesson. We ought to say plainly to them, this is right behavior. This is wrong behavior. This is God's commandments. This is the consequences of breaking God's commandments. And education in right and wrong must occur 24 hours a day, every day of the year. A child thoroughly trained in God's commandments, who knows right from wrong, has very little trouble discerning Satan at work. He quickly picks up signals and tells him when things are askew. His conscience remains alive and sensitive, so he avoids becoming a slow-moving target for the enemy. We got to teach our children to discern good from evil. 5:8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus had to learn obedience just as we do. What teacher did God use suffering, just as he does with us? God intends to use our suffering to teach us the value and the power of obedience. Matthew 5:9, having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Are you obeying the Lord today? Does our obedience gain us a Savior? No, nothing we can do can ever earn our salvation. And yet all those who truly believe will obey. If we habitually obey him, we should reexamine our connection to him. Spiritual maturity comes not merely by hearing God's word, but by making it a habit to put it into practice. So as I read it, I can't just read it and forget about it. It's got to go into my heart. It's got to go into my spirit. It's got to be who I am. And a question, you want to get a pen and paper to write, I'll be the kind of faithful person God honors. And it says, and this is from chapter 6, and it says, do you want to see the favor of God blossom in your life? If you do, the writer of Hebrews has some advice for you. Show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. We can't be lazy in our walk. And it goes on to say the writer has in mind someone like the Old Testament saint Abraham, with just like great faith and patience. Remember when God called Abraham to leave his homeland for a place unknown, Genesis 12 and 14 displays Abraham's diligence. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Remember when God told Abraham that he would have a son, even though his wife Sarah was already 90 years old. God displayed his faithfulness a year later by giving Isaac to Abraham and Sarah. Remember, when Abraham heard God tell him to sacrifice a son for whom he had waited 100 years, Abraham faithfully obeyed God and was blessed for his devotion. We are to mirror Abraham's faithfulness in our attempt to pursue God with diligence. We need to take stock of everything we do. Number one, set clear goals. Number two, be patient. Number three, be willing to take risks. Number four, be persistent. And number five, be flexible. Remember that the process is the greatest learning experience you have. Learn from your mistakes and move on. Flexibility enables you to change as God changes you. If you want God to honor you, then be that kind of person who honors him by consistently acting on your faith. And again, set clear goals. Be patient. Be willing to take risks. Be persistent. Be flexible. We can't be rigid in our faith. Hebrews 6 and 12, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Everyone wants to enjoy the blessings of God's promises, but not everyone will. Lazy believers who exercise neither their faith nor their patience should expect to receive few to none of the benefits of God's promises. We got to work the work we're called to do. Hebrews 6 and 19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, of which in is the present. Our hope, and we don't want to be on sand. We want a solid rock foundation. Come on now. Our hope in Christ gives us a firm and rock solid confidence that nothing life throws at us can ultimately move us. This hope reaches to the very throne of God himself to bring us comfort and assurance. We got to stand steady. We got to stand firm. We got to know who we belong to and know that our daddy God is not asleep at the helm. He's not asleep at the wheel. He is always awake. He is always in charge. And a word for today, just decide. Remember to stay alert and hold firmly to all that you believe. Be mighty and full of courage. 1 Corinthians 16:13-2. Father, you are the light that shines in the darkness. When I can't see what's right in front of my face, I press into you and trust the light of your countenance will light the path before me. I will not forget where I came from. You picked me up from the dust and shook me off, clothing me in your righteousness. You made me new, and you never stopped. Your love is still transforming me, giving me the courage I need to keep running the race still before me. I know when I cross the finish line, I'll be reached. I will have reached the kingdom. In the meantime, you deposit gifts out of your perfect character in my path, giving me everything I need to keep going. Your faithfulness leads me on with every breath and every step. You are pure goodness. I won't let go of you, but you never let go of me. And our word for this morning, what belief about God keeps you going when you would have given up? And what belief is that my daddy God is not asleep? He is watching over me even when I slumber. He does it. We got to thank God that he who keeps you will not slumber. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of the Most High God, who loves us more than we could ever imagine. Lines are open if there is anyone who would like to speak. speak, all I need you to do is push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open if God has given you a word this morning. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Don't try to force things to happen. Let God's grace move in your favor. Be patient. We just talked about that. Be still. Let things flow. You shouldn't have to fight if it truly belongs to you. Have a trial-free basis. And the church said amen as we thank God for our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And that is all I have this morning. I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed that I have a daddy God that does not sleep, a daddy God that does not slumber, a daddy God who is continuously watching over me. He who keeps you will not slumber. And our Father keeps us, and he does not slumber. I thank God for each of you. Thank you for joining me this morning. There does not seem to be any callers that would like to speak, so we are wrapping it up over you. May the Lord God watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a wonderful day, knowing that you got coverage, that your daddy is watching over you, that he got your back. He's got your front, he's got your top, he's got your left, your right, your up, your down, because he is covering you. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, you are covered by God. Keep the Lord first in everything that you do. So watch him work miracles in your life. I'm believing for miracles myself. I'm believing for signs and wonders. I'm believing God for everything that the canker worm has stolen from me. I'm getting back. I'm getting all my stuff back. I'm believing God for it. So thank God today. Praise you, Father God, for your grace and for your mercy toward each and every one of us. Thank you for not sleeping or slumbering. Thank you for always being there. In Jesus' name, I pray. Continue watching over Mother Rita and her family. And we thank the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep a Mother Rita prayed up, family. Don't forget. Keep her prayed up, because I know that God can and will do miracles. And continue to pray for our family. Don't forget Mother Rita in your prayers as well as Mother Valerie. And pray for your pastors, each and every one. I pray for mine, Lord. I lift up Pastor Jesse and ask you to cover from the crown of earth to the sole of our feet. Go God and your sister. In Jesus' name. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. And remember, stay firm. Stand firm. You are built on the rock. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Pick it up. Be blessed. And join me, God willing, on tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. Thank you so much, and have a blessed day.